It is wonderful that we have the opportunity to come together and to celebrate. Thank you all for joining your hearts and minds together as we celebrate this, the season of Christmas. And it is absolutely one of my favorite seasons. And in my house, we do our best to celebrate as much as we can, which largely involves having a lot of Christmas trees, several, and then eating as many Christmas cookies as is humanly possible without going directly into diabetic coma, which we have so far succeeded at. We have not lost anyone yet. Close calls from time to time, though. But I want to talk to you guys about a little Christmas history. This goes back several centuries, and the story is about, it's actually a true story, a story that influences and impacts the way we celebrate Christmas today. It's a story about a monk by the name of Francis. Francis was from a small town in Italy, a mountaintop town that I've myself had the opportunity to visit, called Assisi. And Francis, as any good monk would, wanted to visit Rome in the height of the Christmas season and experience the glory and grandeur of the Christmas story as told in the great cathedrals of the holy city of Rome. And so he went. And he attended the grandest of all spectacles that he could find, a worship service, a midnight mass. And of course, the word Christmas is nothing more than a portmanteau. We stuck two words together, Christ Mass. And so he's going to the Christ Mass, as we all do, in the season of Christmas, in Rome. And he's there and he goes to this grand cathedral and they have multiple people with thuribles full of smoke and incense and candles and processions and robes and chanting and singing and choirs. And the spectacle is astounding and fantastic and amazing, and it goes on for hours. And Francis leaves this incredible experience, and his response is, meh. I mean, if Yelp existed back then, he would have been like 2.5 stars. The special effects were great, but I really didn't get it. And he goes back to his hometown, and he spends the next year thinking, what was it about the experience that just left me feeling flat and empty? And he realized at some point that there was something missing from the experience, and he wanted to figure out how to fix this. So he wrote to his superiors in Rome and said, I want to do this weird midnight mass. May I have permission to do my own thing? And if you know anything about Francis of Assisi, he kind of had a tendency to do his own thing anyway. So they wrote him back and said, okay, Francis, let's see how this goes. So Francis goes to a good friend of his in town and says, I've got this idea for midnight mass. And his friend says, okay. He says, I need to borrow a few things from you. I need to borrow a donkey, an ox, and a bunch of sheep. And his friend said, this sounds like a really weird midnight mass, but I'm curious to see where it goes. Let's do it. So Francis recruited some other friends. He got this thing put together, figured it out. He had it all ready to go on Christmas Eve. And when his congregation got to the chapel, he turned them around at the door, said, we're not doing it here. I've got an idea. And he leads them out into the wilderness to a cave. And there in this cave, he has a woman dressed as Mary, a man dressed as Joseph, a few shepherds who were, in fact, actually shepherds, because they had some live sheep there. And if you have live sheep, you kind of need a shepherd. And they had an ox and they had a donkey. And they had this whole thing set up. A living nativity. And all for that midnight mass that he did was he read them the passage that I just read you. and then encourage them to spend some time just looking, imagining, thinking, experiencing, letting that moment live. Now, I know our youth group leader, Brian Crum, has been encouraging me to bring in live animals to do exactly this. It's not the year that we're doing it. I do not have any camels. I said I might be able to get lucky and pull in an alpaca, but I'm just not sure about camels. But the reason that Francis did this was his experience at this cathedral, as grand and as sweeping and as amazing as it was, he said to himself, what really matters to me on a Christmas Eve service is that I feel like I've experienced the birth. I feel like I've been there and been part of that time. Now, this is the first time, as far as we know, historically speaking, anyone's done this. And after this, those who followed Francis, the Franciscans, continued to have these tableaus. And over time, it became expensive and difficult, not the sort of thing you could reproduce on a large scale. And so somebody got the idea, let's just carve figures and have them at church, much like the ones that we have here. And we can carve smaller ones and people can have them in their homes. You may have some of these decorations in your homes. I know I do. It's my favorite decoration, the nativity set, the creche. If you've got one of those in your homes, then you've got my favorite decoration. And it goes back centuries to this first act of Francis of Assisi, Saint Francis of Assisi. When my kids were young, we still have it, we're missing pieces, we had what is by far my favorite of the nativity sets that we have at my house. And it was made by Play School or Fisher Price, I can't remember which. And it was toys. And the kids could get them out and do what kids do when they've got the toys, use their imaginations. And so there would be these whole conversations. The kids would put them out and they'd move the people in and they'd have the wise men over there and Mary and Joseph over here. And, you know, they'd have them talk to each other, you know. Joseph, is it time yet? No, it's not time yet. Is it time? Yeah, it's time. It's a baby. Is it a boy? It's a boy. What's where you going? They would have these whole, you know, experiences, which is, of course, exactly what Francis wanted people to experience, to engage your imagination and think of yourself in the presence of the birth. And that's not just because he wanted people to have a really neat moment, but there's a greater reason for that. See, Francis understood something in his heart, and that is simply this. We do not have nativity sets or live nativities or small nativity creches in our homes because it is fun to look at. We do so because it engages our imagination to tell us that we're there. Because whether or not we know it, we were there. You see, when that child entered into the world, he did so with the foreknowledge that he was coming to be the savior of humanity. And not in a broad, general, abstract way, but that he understood that he was coming to save Russell Yoke. And that Russell Yoke would have certain brokenness in his life that he would need a savior to save him from. He knew each and every one of you. And that as he entered into this world, he did so expressly for you. And so in that sense, when the Savior arrived, although he was witnessed by shepherds and Mary and Joseph, and yes, the wise men eventually get there, it takes a couple of years, they were there to witness it in person. The reality of the fact is, we were still a part of that story. Because Christ was born for you, in order that you might be taken from our broken state as humans and forgiven, given new life, given new hope, given a new identity, and that God would take upon himself all of our brokenness and make it whole again and bring us back into right relationship with God the Father. So as we gather together on this Christmas Eve, and yes, we do a lot of the same things that Christians have done for the last 2,000 years when we gather together to celebrate the birth of Christ. We will sing hymns. We already have, and we're going to sing more. We've had special music, marvelous musicians that we are thrilled could share their gifts with us. We've heard all the amazing, talented people. We've even heard our new organ do all sorts of fun and creative things. Chimes, and I think even timpani at one point. Yeah, that was cool. But you know what? In the midst of all of the spectacle of our Christmas worship service, it is important that we remember to take our minds and our imaginations back to that stable, to kneel before the Christ child, just like the shepherds did, and to make eye contact with that little baby who already knows that he is here for you, that God has chosen to be among us, for us, to be with us, and to gather us to himself. And this is the joy and the amazement and the gift that is Christmas. Amen.